Good afternoon, Chicago. Hey, it's me, Frank Fontana. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're here till 3 o'clock, and boy, do we have a sweet show for you. Isn't that right there, Dave Miranda?
It's sweet with a cherry on top.
Oh, yeah. Weather's not so bad out there, wouldn't you say, Dave?
With the sun, it looks beautiful. I mean,
it looks beautiful
as windy
from in here.
Yes.
It certainly does. And when I was out there, it wasn't so bad. I mean, we're used to this like 60-something. It was a little tease.
Yes.
And then it hit you. And then we're coming back up. I see the trend. My iPhone is my Bible, at least a temperature Bible. And I thought I saw maybe a 57 coming this week. Then it drops down to 30-something. It's okay. As long as it stays above 40, I'm good.
And we've been spoiled this winter, so we can't complain.
Not at all.
At least we have some sun, because sometimes it's many, many days without sun, so we're getting some vitamin D in our day today.
It is. It's good. You know, we've been at our house needing a desperate dose of vitamin D. My son just got his tonsils out.
Finally. Oh.
Finally. It's been years of ginormous swollen tonsils and moody little boy who barely sleeps because he sounded like a drunk old man. Like this is all right, folks, cover your ears. This is what he sounded like for the last, and many parents out there can sympathize what it's like to have a son with ginormous tonsils. This is what his nightly sound would be like. Poor little five-year-old was breathing like this for about a year because we were hopeful that we can find, you know, holistic or homeopathic ways to reduce the swelling of the tonsils. We tried everything. We took them off dairy. There'd be times where it was okay, and then the minute he gets a cold or anything, they would just swell back up to the point where he was at 95% blockage in his throat.
When he was sleeping, did you feel like you have to be supervising him all night?
My wife is like crazy. Like she keeps the baby monitor from when he was a little baby on because he was getting sleep apnea. So he would literally stop breathing for like 4 or 5 seconds at a time. And we're like, holy cow, this we can't go on. So we finally scheduled the surgery. He got him out on Friday morning, and he's doing okay. This little boy, man, he's tough. He takes no medicine. He got his adenoids and his tonsils removed, and is taking zero medicine. And he's like,
wow.
Not crying. He's not being, you know, complaining. Maybe because he can't talk, but I got to give him so much credit, man. I love this kid. He's the best, and my wife is taking good care of him at home, and he's starting to eat. You know, he's got some smoothies going. I went out and got him yogurt. It's amazing as a parent what you do when your kid's in need, and I'm sure parents out there can attest to this. I have gone out like 52 times yesterday because he wanted mashed potatoes. He wanted a smoothie. Then he wanted yogurt. Then he wanted this. Then he wanted that. And, you know, you got to give – he hasn't eaten in 48 hours. You know, so you're like, oh, my God, he's starving.
And the diet is very restricted, right?
He can't chew anything, really. He's got to stay away from solid food. It's got to be a lot of mush. Anything we do, we mush it for him just for another week or so. And then he can slowly introduce, you know, we don't want to open those stitches because it could be a bad situation.
I can only see you as a grandparent. If you do this for your son, they say you do a lot more things for your grandchildren.
I don't know about
that,
Dave.
Because you want to spoil your grandchildren.
I don't know about that. This is a big bone of contention in my family. I grew up in a very Italian family. And for generations, and you know, in your culture as well, it's all about family.
Yes.
And for generations, every generation of grandparent would help the daughter. In this generation, and I'd love to hear from everybody out there, 312-91-7200, does your parents help you as much as you thought they would? Because I love my in-laws, I love my parents, but where are they? I don't know. They have their own lives. It's like a completely different mindset as it was many, many years ago. Like when I was sick, my grandmother was with me too. When my mother needed help, my grandmother was there without question.
I guess they figured, okay, we're finished with bringing up children.
Yeah, we put our time in.
Let's live our life.
Live our life. Who cares? Our son just got our tonsils. Oh, okay. Anything I could do? We're busy. We're going to be, you know, going to dinner, but we'll bring you something afterwards. In my day with my grandparents, they would show up with this chicken noodle soup. Oh, my grandson, let me help you. Today it's different. I'm just curious. Is anybody else?
They don't make them like before.
Is anybody else experiencing this generation of parenting? I mean, I'm in my early 40s. My grandparents, my son's grandparents are in their 60s, very active, very fit. Where are they?
But they do live here.
Well, my in-laws live here and my parents live in Florida. But even still, I mean, I would expect my mother to fly in this week. Be like, oh, he's getting surgery. Let me come and help. Because my grandmother would have done that. Mm-hmm. And their grandmother before that would have done that. Yeah, we'll take your call, 312-981-7200. Love to hear about this. If you're a grandparent on the other end of the spectrum, explain to me. Explain to me why it's okay for you to go hang out with your friends and not help your daughter or your son with their with your grandkids. I don't get it.
We have a grandma on the line.
I'd love to hear it. You're on, Pam. How are you doing?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm okay. I haven't slept in about 48 hours because my son has been up all night with his tonsil surgery. But Pam, please help enlighten me on this generation of grandparents, why they think it's okay to just kind of do their own thing and not help out with their kids and grandkids?
Well, that I can't tell you because I have three grandchildren, and whenever there's anything, I'm the one there. I'm the one holding them in the hospital, even though their mother is there.
Yeah.
It's grandma who's there 24/7.
So and Pam, I love you. I wish you were my son's grandmother. So Pam, well, are any of your friends like the way I'm explaining to where they're not so engaged?
Yes. They a lot of people travel. They have different, you know, groups that they belong to. But I do have to say, in their defense, many of them lived in other states and have come back to Illinois because of the little people.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah. Well, good, you know, best wishes for
thank you,
your
Pam.
Son.
Thank you. And I'll give you my address so you can come over and give some grandma love to our kids. That'd be great.
I would gladly read him stories and rock him.
You're so sweet, Pam. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. We have a great show lined up, a little off topic here, but I just had to get it off my chest. We'll still talk about it. Text in 312-981-7200, and we'll pick a call in between. Coming up on the show, we're talking to the folks from the Market Overdrive. It's a big show. It's a nation's largest real estate industry talk show. Hosts Carla Mina and Nick Momenti are joining us in studio to talk about the state of Chicago's real estate industry. What can we expect? Spring is upon us. That means it's a big selling season. You want to get your house on the market, you might want to listen. We'll also take your calls regarding that as well. At 2:05, we'll be joined by the Chicago Park District Superintendent Mike P. Kelly. We'll talk about some of the new spring programs coming up for the youth and teens. We'll also be talking to the Senior Vice President of Governmental External Affairs for ComEd and a new artist program. They're powering lives through disabled artists. We have artist James Allen and Louis DeMarco going to be joining us. And finally, we'll be sampling some mystery ice cream. And I'm excited about that.
Perfect timing for Lucas.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
Luca. Yeah.
Luca.
No worries. And we'll definitely bring him some ice cream home because that's pretty much the only thing he's eating right now.
Ice cream. He must be in ice cream heaven then.
We're being joined by two very popular hosts. They have a podcast here on WGN, and it's also syndicated nationwide. It's called Market Overdrive. Carla and Nick are the hosts. Guys, thanks for joining me this Sunday morning.
Thank you so much for introducing me first. You heard that, Carla, then Nick?
He said two.
Very popular.
Very popular.
Very popular.
You meant to say one and a half.
As you can see, they get along really well.
Wow.
And that's the formula for success, right,
love,
guys?
Hate. We love to hate each other.
Next time you send an invitation, can you just send it directly to me? I don't know what he's doing here.
Sure, we can do that. Absolutely.
Thanks for having us. We are the Mod Squad. This is Carla. Well, I am the Mod Squad. I don't know about Nick.
Carrying on. Frank, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, tell me about the show.
Go ahead.
You know why?
Because I want him to talk about me. This is what you do. I'm being a lady.
Can you go ahead and rave about me? Not mention you once, Carla. But anyways,
let's talk about it, Nick.
The show is you know, the Mod Squad is what we like to call ourselves, but it's not really just me and Carla. Even though we have to have, I guess, two people trying to keep order, it is a panel of. We have six regular hosts that are usually on every other weekend. Me and Carla are the one dynamic that is constant.
Yeah.
But what we call the Mod Squad and Market Overdrive is a influx of, we've had, over 100 different professionals from all over the real estate industry on the show, and it didn't matter if they're in if they're appraisers or real estate agents or inspectors or attorneys, other lenders.
Yeah.
We've done all of it. So we open
all
up
Illinois-based people?
No, we just had somebody recently from California. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So it's now that the station's on, now that we've moved it to WGN, which we like to call the We Good Now Network.
Yeah.
We've opened it up to anyone in the country. So
right, so, and so the whole concept is for us to be able to, what we say is, elevate our audience's real estate IQ, simply because we like to give the point of view of trending professionals, right? So we're not reporters, we're out in the trenches, transacting every day, 24 hours a day, like every single day. I mean, I was doing showings already. But
so you're a real estate agent, you're a mortgage expert.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. So you're getting the point of view of us, you know, like people report the news, what's going on, there's an interest rate hike, there is a PMI, no PMI, right. And so everybody gets startled, but we like to talk about it from our point of view, from the transacting and how it affects us as professionals.
Sure. And what is the overall current state of the real estate industry right now? Have we bounced back? Are we there yet? Where are we at?
I think it's a progression, right? So I a lot of people, I like to say, people have amnesia. They forgot what happened when the market crashed. There was recession. I don't see the job growth to support this high demand, but I do see that there's a lack of inventory. And because there's a lack of inventory, we are seeing, you know, some of our neighborhoods, the more coveted neighborhoods that are seeing growth. Nothing stays on the market. I mean, I put properties on the market, and if they stay 5 days on the market, that's a long time. And
really?
It's typically because we're negotiating multiple offers, and we're just finding ourselves time to find that right buyer.
Yeah. I mean, I heard it's funny because we do a bunch of real estate staging in our company and design and development. And I was talking to a realtor out in LaGrange, and she said she can't keep the houses on the market. She's five people are bidding on the same houses, and they're getting crazy above asking prices.
It's crazy. I mean, I put a two flat in Avondale, which is a really nice growing neighborhood here in Chicago. It's actually a three flat, 4.25, and 5 days later, it's multiple offers. But we're under contract. We're not closed yet, so I can't disclose the price.
Sure.
But I can say it's significantly higher than list price.
So what do you attribute that to, Nick? Why are people not putting their homes on the market? Is it just an anomaly?
I think your first question, have we recovered yet? Almost is probably my best answer to that question. I mean, does it feel like a very fluid real estate market, and does everybody have confidence? I guess that would be considered recovery. Yes.
Sure.
Everybody does have confidence in the market. People do want to buy homes. You see, from my perspective, lending programs are starting to finally loosen up a little bit. A lot of lenders are willing to raise the loan to values again. I mean, I don't think we're going to see 100% loan to value, no money down programs, if you will,
right.
A true no money down. But you know, inventory, there's a lot of people that are still feeling the crash. I mean, there's people that were underwater immediately after 2007 or 2008, and they're still underwater, or they're not at enough level to truly profit in selling. There's no motivation to sell it.
Sure.
So, you know, have we recovered? I think for everybody that bought anything post 08, 09, sure, it's a great market for them. But anyone that bought something like in 2005 or in 2006, when we hit these absolutely insane, call them bust level prices, I think those people are still waiting to make it worth their while, and that's why you have an inventory problem.
Well, and that's a good point. Has the game changed forever? You know, are we?
The game has changed forever. The game has absolutely changed forever.
I mean, we know kind of the how, but what are we then going to see is the new game? You know, what is the new game?
Take lead on this one, because I feel like my particular part of this industry dictates what all the realtors get to do out there.
Are you trying to say you're the control man?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying
I'm the
bad news.
Yeah,
I'm usually
like
the bad
this.
Or good news guy. You know, let's face it. Everyone's
typically
happy
mostly
when
bad.
Typically mostly bad, right? I think that we're never going to see what we once had from a lending perspective, the lax underwriting skills, and we were the wild, wild west. I'll be honest with you. It was a moment that even I, when I was walking through my sales floor, saw a flyer down for 100% loan to value, meaning no money down, where you could state your income. Doesn't have to be
not prove
verified.
It, right?
Right.
Insanity.
And it was a 580 credit score. No money down, 580 credit score, which is not a very good score. In any
right.
marketplace that has ever existed, that's never been a great score. And by the way, you didn't have to be self-employed. You could have been a cashier clerk at Walmart and said you make $10,000 a month. And here you go. Here's your loan.
Jeez.
So if we don't know what happened, that's what happened.
Sure.
I mean, that's really it. There was no incentive for someone to hold on to this house. They didn't have to put any money down. They were shocked they even got approved, as was I, as I was giving the loan out that fit the criteria. I mean, it was a really crazy moment.
I mean, come on, let's be real. Did you not know what was going to happen? Did you guys in the business not go like,
you know,
God, this is going to just, the bomb is going to drop?
I've been an owner of a mortgage company since 1998 is when I opened up my first one. So yes, I did. I absolutely had a terrible feeling in my stomach. But at the end of the day, you can't go to work thinking about when or if. You know, you have to go to work of what's in front of you, you know. And so if a client fits the criteria and they're demanding to get a loan and they want to buy a house, you're going to give it to them.
Sure.
You know, personally, as a loan officer, when I would write clients, I would make sure that they could afford, get a gauge if they really can afford it. They have the right to use the stated income program back then and tell me they make $8,000. But unless I absolutely knew it was false, I couldn't pin them. I could ask some questions, but I had to give them the right.
Right.
Right. And so I don't think those days are ever going to come back.
No.
I think now there's been some policies that have put in place where we have less control over our appraisals and underwriting's a little bit more common sense.
Yeah.
So hopefully we don't see what we saw in 05. But if we do, you know, do what you can. Enjoy the moment. And
lessons learned, though. Now it'll be a different place.
I don't necessarily think that it's all about nostalgia about what it was before with respect to lending. And if that's, I mean, I don't really miss it at all, to be honest with you. I think that there's guidelines in place for a reason now. I think that people are more conservative when they're shopping. And I think there's a lot of grant programs that allow those people who are on the sidelines to come out and play and buy stuff, because you're looking at some of our buyers who are, let's face it, millennials, right?
Yes.
Because we talk about that a lot in media. Let's address the fact that most of our buyers are millennials. They're changing lifestyles. Changing, they're getting married, they're having kids, and so they're going to need housing. Housing is something that's never going to go away. So there's programs out there to entice them to get, you know, to get out and play and buy, especially with rents being so high.
And let's talk about those programs. We do have to take a quick break here. I'm being joined by Carla Mina and Nick Mementi from Market Overdrive. Did I say that wrong? Mementi?
What's Mementi. Your name?
Mementi. It's all good. It's all
Are you Italian?
Something like that.
Albanian.
Mementi.
Albanian. All right. Sounds Italian. I'm assuming you both don't have kids, because you look like you have fun
still. She does.
I do not have kids. I'm like 32.
I've got over 30 employees, so I feel like I have 30 kids.
30 kids.
I do have kids. I have an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old.
You do?
Yes.
Do your parents help?
They do. Yeah, for sure.
As much as you anticipated?
Not as much. I mean, my brother has kids too, so my mom, you know, like, there's too many kids in our family.
It.
But yes.
I don't know if you heard the kickoff of the show. I was talking about how I wish either my parents lived in town or grandparents would contribute a little bit more. We love them. They're great. But it's the overall expectation. Because I grew up in a generation before this, a very big Italian family who all would support each other, be there. And no matter what, if someone was sick, there'd be 20 of them there, you know, like kind of thing.
It's different for me because I have four brothers
and
they're here. So I get a lot of support. To be a working woman, to be a working mom, you need a whole village to help you launch that kind of career. So my family, I can't deny it. They help us a lot.
Yeah. That's a whole other topic, by the way. We can come back and talk
hey,
about
Nick,
that.
Go home.
Hey,
yeah, Nikki.
I'll be right here. You guys do what you got to do.
Do what we got to do. Let's talk real estate, though. You know, we were talking during the break about the idea of, you know, you're putting your house on the market. What are some of the rules of thumb for people out there who are about to do it, going to select a realtor, when it comes to the visibility? We know that the first line right now is the internet. People go to the internet first to see a home. Then they'll go physically see it. What are the right steps to do?
The rule of thumb is, 90% of your buyers are going to start their shopping online. So you have to flirt with them. You have to play with them. You have to show them exactly why they want to buy your property. At the end of the day, real estate is not an object. It's a commodity, and you're going to compete with the open market. So you have to stage your home. You have to get the property ready before you hit the market and before you expose that to your you know, prospective buyers. And doing so, you have to make sure that it's staged, but the photography online has to be captivating.
Now, how about this? So I was talking to a realtor the other day, because we do a lot of staging in our company, and the realtor's like, oh, I spent all this money on these virtual photographs with 3D and da da da, and the people are coming through and they're not, you know, they're kind of like, where's the beef? You know what I mean? Like, I'm seeing something online and I'm walking in and it's not what I see.
I hope you don't have a virtual stager sponsor on the show, because I do not support it. I think that it's not that it's misleading. I have a background in marketing, and so I just
think it
feel
kinda
that
is. Let's be real. I think it's kind of
it
misleading.
Is. I mean, it's definitely misleading, because when you're going there, properties, you're selling a lifestyle, right? Proximity to public transportation, closeness to park, and of course for families, location is all about schools. But when it comes to being in the home, you have to sell the experience. You know, how am I going to use this space? You're talking about Chicago. It's a very transient city. And we're selling mostly condos, right? So condos have a specific floor plan. And so when buyers are in there, they can't envision themselves in the space if it's vacant. So you always want to stage, but the real staging.
Yeah.
Nothing virtual.
Like physically
pictures.
Getting in there
and putting
it. I'm going to stick up for the virtual stager here for one
second. Of course you want to, because you always just want to say
go
opposite of me.
I think that it's misleading when you walk in and you're looking at the place and all the furniture you saw online is not there. However, it does still paint a picture of what it can look like when it comes to you actually moving in.
I think if you disclose
in,
it,
if
so
you
want
to walk in and say, okay,
print
now
photos to show you this is what
what I'm
going to
do
like?
Is finish. So what, here's what I'm going to do.
Whatever.
Is you want to see this place and say, okay, well, if I go and buy this couch and put this TV here and put these plants here, it'll look like this image. Because assuming the structure is exactly the same, they just filled it with what would be ideal. So it's misleading, yes, of the moment.
But Nick, but how many people you know walk into those environments bare and have the vision of a designer to say,
zero.
I could do what that says.
Nick,
you know,
I'm serious.
I think the percentage is low.
Me.
I think the percentage is low.
Okay, so here's the deal, right? So we do virtual 3D tours. So
I was on your side. I saw it. I like it.
Yeah, right. Cool. So if you're going to invest the money in marketing and do, instead of doing the virtual, whatever you call that, I don't even know what to call it because I don't use it. You want to invest in staging. Go get the furniture. Hire a stager. Seriously, it is statistically known that you're going to yield a higher yield if you stage a property versus not staging a property.
And by what percentage, do you know?
Not really know the percentage, but I know that
it's very significant.
I mean, if you're looking at the staging investment, you're talking about what, a $2,500 investment that may yield you $5,000 to $10,000 more in sales price. Because again, the person, your prospective buyer, is going to fall in love with the space. They're going to realize what to do with that, you know, kitchen, living room, dining room combo that is so small, and you got to create that dining room separation.
Right.
And so you have to walk them through the process. So again, if you're going to do any investment in marketing a property, I would say virtual tours, but then stage it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Nick doesn't agree, but that's okay.
Nick
that's,
never agrees with anything I say. If I say pink, he's going to
say
black.
I didn't say one was better than the other. I just said I don't think there's still a place for the virtual stuff.
Yeah.
It might not be. Look, staging for real is better. You walk in, you can see it, you can feel it, you get it. But I think that it's like when people want to do those hair changes and they put their picture up there and they change it from brunette to blonde to red and short to long. It's like you can see different variations of the space by just digitally moving around.
To Nick's defense, though, I think that it makes sense. Like if you're doing a new construction project
sure.
and it's not ready, there's only
rendering.
That's a different thing. Yeah,
that's a
whole
construction
different
project.
Well, renderings are virtual staging. That's
right.
What that is.
Exactly.
It is. It's a concept. It's a concept.
Right.
See, you get
and like any concept, you know, things are open for interpretation. With that said, you bring up a good point. If I'm on a dating site and...
it's all virtual now.
It's all virtual, it's all, man.
Yeah,
like
you don't know what you're really getting
I'm
into.
Not on
that's
a
my
person.
Point.
Yeah.
You go meet that person after you see this profile online and you're sitting at a cafe going, I signed up for. You know?
She's good with Photoshop, clearly, right?
Yeah. Are you talking from personal experience?
Your what makes that different? What makes that different from walking into a home that you've been kind of bamboozled into go seeing, you know?
Go ahead, Carla.
I don't agree with it, so I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, it's bad marketing. Unless you have like raw space, it's just, you know, new construction project, it's not ready yet, ground hasn't broken.
And
so
fully disclosed, I think. You need to fully disclose that these images are altered to give the idea of a concept that could live in that space. I think it's acceptable.
All marketing has to be within reason. You can't oversell something and then the product doesn't stand anywhere near what... They'll walk out before they even put 2 feet into the door.
I agree.
So it's got to be within reason. I think, like I said, from virtual perspective, if you're not a fan of contemporary furniture, you know, you can at least flip this thing around virtually and see what it looks like, you know, with traditional furniture or whatever the case is. So there's a role for it. But yeah, it's like I said, dating sites, and you people don't look a lot like they do on these social media sites. Right?
That's it. We're talking to Carla Mina and Nick Mometi from the Market Overdrive show. It's heard here when, guys, on WGN podcast platform, right?
Well, we go live on social media at 10 a.m. Every Wednesday. But it's obviously you can get it on our podcast, subscribe to it, or of course YouTube. Our Facebook channels all show past shows, so if we don't catch us live, you can find us in a lot of other areas.
And you also have a syndicated show as well, right?
Yeah,
that's what I heard somewhere.
Something like that.
Well, I guess podcasting is
podcast
syndicated,
is
right?
Syndicated. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Dave's giving me misinformation here, but that's all right.
I love Dave. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
They're also on 7 markets.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
7 different markets, right?
Hey.
Isn't that kind of called syndicating?
On another radio station.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, we won't talk about that then. Folks, if you have any mortgage questions or real estate questions, 312-981-7200. We have our experts, Carla Mina and Nick Mometi, in the studio talking all about Chicago real estate. Are you seeing, do you guys do residential as well, or just stick to the core downtown market of condos, townhouses?
No, we're
all residential.
All residential, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, anywhere.
Is it different for you guys when you're marketing a, you know, 6-bedroom home in, you know, Hinsdale versus, you know, the two bedroom condo, like different clients, different people.
For sure.
Talk to me about it.
Definitely.
So when it comes to residential real estate, I mean, it's any product, right? A condo, a single family, or a two flat, you're going to market that differently. But I think the role of a realtor is to go and assess the property, do a site visit. And as you enter the property, you're going to find that one specific thing that's going to sell the home. So find the sellability aspect of it, yeah. I like to say. So if it's a single family, obviously, if it's, you know, in a location where it's about schools, like, and I'm talking about suburbs versus city. In the city, we focus a lot on Chicago public school boundaries. But when you're in a single family, you're looking at that, you know, does it have a huge master bedroom? Does it have a huge family room? What is the sellability of the specific property that's going to allow you to market that? Because not every home is the same.
Sure.
I think whether it's real estate or automobiles or restaurants, I think when it comes to marketing, you have to identify who is the target audience that you're trying to appeal to with your product.
How does it change your tactic, though? Because, I mean, it used to be, you know, real estate was a broad fishnet. You threw it out there. You get as many visits.
A penthouse in River North is going to be such a different marketing tactic. If you think about the type of person that's going to want to move into that particular property versus a six-bedroom home, as you said, in Hinsdale.
Right.
These are two totally different families, or one of them might not even have a family.
Right.
So, and age groups, you know, who is the potential buyer? Who's most likely to buy this property? And that's what you focus your marketing energy
on. And sometimes you can water that down by looking into, like Nick said, the target audience. Specifically, it's the price point, right? And what price point are we? If in Chicago, I tend to say that if anything under 300, you're going to be looking at a first-time buyer that's going to require, you know, the different type of sales tactic versus somebody above. Because anybody buying above, it's going to be like a repeat buyer that's done this before. And so they're a little bit more knowledgeable about the process and their expectations are completely different.
How about this trend of, I've seen it a lot, is homeowners wanting pre-approval up front for anybody walking in
100%,
that home.
100%, always.
That never used to be the case, though.
Really?
I mean, most people,
Nick?
You know.
Used to be, well, in before
pre-qualification?
Pre-crash, right. It was called pre-qualification.
Right.
We could run a credit report and get some numbers verbally and then let a realtor know. Yeah,
these guys are serious. Said,
this is
not
the only
serious.
Time when I'm nice to Nick.
From what he
Nick.
Said, it's
worth my pre-approval.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
But today you got to validate that stuff because pre-quals are pretty much long and gone. So
yeah,
you know, again, it goes back to what we had pre-crash. We had programs where if a client we pulled a credit report and they had a 700 credit score and they told us they made, let's say, $8,000 a month, and they told us they had 5 or 10% down. Well, they have every right in their application to keep just telling us. We'd have to verify anything.
Sure.
So pre-quals
you
made
always
sense.
Made it work.
Well, he essentially pre-qualified himself because he didn't need to verify income back then. He told us, we took his word for it, and we moved on. Today, we have to do a pre-approval. We have to validate these income docs and asset docs, and that's the only way we're going to actually deliver a pre-approval. So it's not.
Right. I mean, Frank, you started the show with talking about the marketplace, and you know, if we're talking about there's no inventory, then you're not going to be wasting time looking at properties. And then when it comes to pulling the trigger and buying something, putting an offer, and not having an approval, that's like everybody's
sure.
waste of time, including your own.
I see who runs the show here.
Right?
Nick?
Boss
Let's
Lee.
Talk about it.
There you go.
Frank!
I'm sorry. I'm
like
sorry.
Everything else, always blowing up in your face.
I can't help it.
I love this love-hate relationship.
It is. It's like an old married couple.
Yeah. Oh, don't say that.
You guys aren't together, are
no.
you?
No.
Hell,
God, no.
God, no. No. Yeah, that's good.
My kids are beautiful. I don't think that kid can make anybody or anything beautiful. Sorry.
Except for maybe mortgage rates.
Yes, that he can do
I can't
well.
Make that happen for you either.
Neither, man. What good are you, man?
I do not control mortgage rates. I mean, I can.
Notice how he's going to try to get you on the air so you can start getting a good interest rate from you, Nick.
Yeah, let's talk about interest rates.
That's pre-qualified right now.
Let's go, man.
Ready, set, go.
So I'm considering a potential refi. And for anybody out there who is about to or purchase a new home, what are the market expectations in terms of mortgage right now?
The expectation as far
yeah,
as...
Yeah, like what can I expect? I've never done this before. I'm about to buy my first home. What are my rates going to look like?
I think, generally speaking, the interest rates as of today, well, let's say Friday, because the market closes at some point Friday evening, but you're looking in the low fours, you know, 4%. I mean, depending on the lender and the program that we're discussing, if you're doing something in the vicinity of a traditional conventional loan or a traditional...
And that's for a credit score of what?
Well, we like to say 660 is going to get you a decent conventional rate. Well, I should say 740 is going to get you the best conventional rate, and you're going to find yourself anywhere from high 3.0. whatever number to a low four is going to be the marketplace you're in today. Four is going to be more common than threes. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Someone in the threes probably has a higher fee schedule, and these things are obviously fluid and dynamic on a daily basis. It's not like what I said today might even exist on Friday. So,
what's the benefit of refinancing?
Well, you typically want to save money. That's the real bottom line. There's no reason to refinance unless you either A, want to save money on your monthly mortgage payment, or B, have some other motive to, let's say, debt consolidating or taking money out of your house equity for the sake of maybe buying another property or getting into a business. You need cash out of your property. So,
do you recommend that as a method to get cash out and to have a little more liquidity?
It depends on what you want to use the money for.
Right. I recommend it on as far as what's your other alternative. Right. If you can have another,
that's
probably not a good option.
Oh, man.
That's not a good option.
Thanks for bursting my bubble, guys.
No, but if it meant you want to go start a business that you were pretty gung-ho, you're going to start one. A true business owner, when he's committed to starting his project, he's going to start it.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not. That's not what I was saying. What I meant is that he's going to find a way to get the money to do it. And so if it means, going to your buddy's loan shark and taking out a 20% interest rate for your $30,000, right, you might want to look at your house at 4%. It's a lot easier and less stressful and a much lower payment than something extreme like that. So, yeah, there's a good time to do it when you absolutely need to.
And is the process the same? I mean, you got to still put out your tax returns and all that stuff.
Yeah. And all that fun stuff. The better rates are going to have the more constricted guidelines, and they're going to want you to turn in your W-2s, your pay stubs and bank statements. Dental records, urine samples, kids' DNA, the whole nine yards.
Right, your first.
It's really an easy process. Don't worry about
it. No, it's crazy.
Hey, so we got some texters asking some questions here. And folks, we will take your call, 312-981-7200. So this texter from the 773 says, I'm 70 years old. I own my house. My taxes are as well as little maintenance. I am considering moving to a condo, but worried about the assessments. Please advise.
I'm sorry, how old are they?
70 years old.
Oh, 70 years young.
Yes,
yeah, 70 years young, first of all.
So they're looking to consolidate space and moving. We have a lot of that, right? Because baby boomers, I think it's the trend, millennials and baby boomers are our marketplace right now. So a lot of people are looking at, they have fixed income. So if you're coming and moving into the city, you're going to look at these high amenity buildings but they have everything, right? Pools, doormen, gyms. So it all depends. You got to weigh all that in. But yeah, for the most part, you have to budget for your assessments.
And what is it, I guess depending on the building, what are you looking at in assessments usually?
I mean,
for a building that has it all, let's say.
$1,000. Something 400 years Ohio, it's like at 500 for assessments, but you have front desk. Typically, when you are going to have a 24-hour doorman and a pool service because of the insurance being so expensive, that's when you're going to have to weigh that in. But again, it's all about location and where you want to be in the city.
And what size unit you actually have in this building, because you might be in a building where an assessment starts at 400, but there's other units in that building where an assessment is 2,200.
Got
so if you have the penthouse, you can't expect that the same assessment fee as the person with the one bedroom on the fifth floor.
Yeah.
So
are you seeing a lot of retirees from the suburbs moving back down to the city?
Yes, we are. Actually, I have I've been talking to other realtors in the suburbs because we're working in this whole partnership idea of anyone who's selling their home, single family homes in the suburbs, that they send me the referral, because I do service a lot of clients who are retirees. I mean, I have a family who had a home in Michigan and then they were in Highland Park and they're moving to Chicago. So I found them a condo in the Gold Coast because they want to be, in that area of the shopping.
A little bit of life, right?
Yeah, exactly. Entertainment. You have all of Wells Street. That's, the comedy center area.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Lakeview area has all the theaters. So it depends on their lifestyle and what they want to do.
Interesting. Yeah, you would think that, you want to go out to pasture and, be in Florida and, relax.
Ew,
but no, I'm going
to
have,
who wants to do that? Everybody's so young now. They
true.
Still want to, be living life and not be bored in the
70s
suburbs.
The new 50, right? Is that what they say?
I don't know, Nick. How's that going for you?
70 is new 50? I don't know. Aren't you older than me?
No, I'm not.
I think so.
Really? Who's older here?
You were talking about...
We won't tell you.
What?
You'll probably guess her, but I understand.
Hey, just so you know, I want to plug our show, because
last week
you talked about the boring subject of how to shop for rates like a pro.
Uh-huh.
And we have a whole segment on it on our YouTube channel. So if you guys want to follow us, Mod Squad, we have a YouTube channel and all our shows are pre-recorded, so you can get a lot of information about how to shop for interest rates like a pro.
Awesome. And do you do all the social media posting, it seems like?
I'm awesome, aren't I? See, that's what he's saying.
Anytime someone has to tell you they're awesome, you already know the truth to the story. And I'll answer that question for her. No, she does not.
We have a whole
team. But if you haven't seen, if you're not watching on WGNRadio.com/watch, You would see our host here buzzing around the studio. Carla's just going crazy with her camera.
Like a crazy flying
this
monkey
so
from
exciting.
The Wizard of Oz, right?
Like, I just like the Wizard of Oz. The, other day,
the little flying monkeys?
Yeah.
That's who she is.
How
doing
ironic.
Her thing.
How ironic. With the
There's
little
no
hat
place
on.
Place like home.
The little hat on. You guys
really
are great.
Like
Carla Mita and Nick Mometty. Thank you guys so much. The show is Market Overdrive, heard right here on WGN Radio podcast platform. Dave, what is the official website for that? Is it...
MarketOverdrive.com.
That's it.
Very
Boom.
Simple.
Right now on the show, we're talking to Alonzo Williams from the Chicago Park District. And Alonzo is going to fill us in on what is coming up this season for the Park District. Hey, Alonzo, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Thanks for calling the show. We're excited to hear what you guys got lined up for this spring.
Yeah, man, we have some exciting news. It's that time again. We're starting our online spring program. Registration begins this February 27th and 28th.
Awesome. Where can people go register? Is that the California Avenue location?
So online spring registration kicks off this Monday, February the 27th at 9 a.m. for parks east of California, and Tuesday, February 28th at 9 a.m. for parks west of California. If people like to do it old school and do it in person, that registration begins Saturday, March the 4th, and local parks.
How about that, huh, man? The idea of old school being person-to-person communication, huh?
There's... Correct. You want to put a face-to-face with a person.
I miss some of that these days. I think the world needs a little bit more face-to-face action. I think projects like the Chicago Park District and all the you know, fun stuff you guys put on certainly helps bring people together. And you guys have some new some awesome new spring sessions coming out. Why don't you tell us some about the new programs you got coming out?
Sure, man. And if I could start by just saying most of our classes start April the 3rd, the week of April the 3rd.
Okay.
And we have classes for everyone. So all ages and abilities, from toddlers to seniors, from morning to evening, we incorporate everything.
Yeah, so, I really dig that about the Park District, man. It really is a great program. And every county has a Park District program. And I think it's such a great thing. You know, it's a great community element to bring people together. And the offerings are getting better and better. Like, you guys have the Chicago Cubs Rookie League you're starting, right?
Oh, definitely. So if you're looking for your kid to be the next Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo, the Chicago Park District will be registering for our youth Chicago Cubs Baseball Rookie League as well this spring. So kids around the city can also register for that program, and that is a free program.
And that involves coaching, training, and the whole nine?
The whole nine, man. Again, as I said, that program is free. So Cubs Care is a free-based program.
Boom, man. You can't beat that.
In addition to that, we also have what we call an inner-city little league program, which is also baseball-based. That's also funded by both the Cubs and the White Sox, and that program is free as well.
Now, do these kids get real competitive in these leagues?
Oh, man, if you only knew, man, we have traveling trophies that go around. So all communities, all parks really look forward to winning that every year.
That's awesome. Now, this I dig. You guys are starting your own next Master Chef program. This is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, you've seen the television shows are popping up all over the place where all you see these kid chef shows. What inspired the idea?
Well, we're all about being healthy at the Chicago Park District. We want to be not just the leading provider of leisure activities, but we also want to be the leading provider for being in shape, for fitness-based opportunities. And nutrition is a big part of that. So we will have some food lovers programs happening throughout the city, and we cater to both kids and adults who are interested in learning more to prepare healthy meals.
And is this a program where these meals will actually go to help other people, or is this more of an internal learning experience for the kids?
It's more of an internal learning experience where your kids can learn to cook healthy, and if you were formerly a single adult male like myself, you learn how to cook as well for yourself.
And for the ladies, maybe.
Yeah, for the ladies as well. You're hitting it on the head.
The ladies don't hate a guy who can cook, I can tell you that.
There you go.
Alonzo, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's Alonzo Williams from the Chicago Park District, Chief Programming Officer. You can find out more information at chicagoparkdistrict.com. And like he said, get ready to sign up. It begins February 27th and 28th. Alonzo, thanks, man. Have a great Sunday.
Hey, you as well, Frank. Have a great one.
All right, take care. All right, man. That was fun. Some updates there. And speaking of updates, let's talk about our topic we started the show with here. I was talking about grandparents and have things changed when it comes to watching your kids. And a lot of people called in and text. And unfortunately, we couldn't take it because we were hopped up on our real estate show for a second. But the one text from the 847 says, "You're so right. I'm 48 and my mom has rarely helped with my kids. So disappointing. She only wants to see them on the holidays and birthdays. Maybe she goes to one game a season. My grandparents babysat all the time when I was a kid." That's from the 847. And here's from the 224. "I'm 40. My mom is 62, divorced after 35 years, and now remarried. Very much enjoying her life. But if I asked her, she's right there for us. Maybe people just need to be asked. So is that possibly the problem?" Another texter says at the 630, "Maybe the grandparents think it's intruding if not asked." You know what? I'm sorry. It's your grandkids. It's not intruding. I mean, really? That's not, I don't think, valid. I think you got to engage your family. I mean, I think they got it right generations ago where it takes a village to raise kids. Right, Dave?
I totally agree. And you know what? Sandy, that's on the phone, says that these grandparents need to listen.
Yeah, let's talk to Sandy. Hey, Sandy, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, good afternoon. These grandparents need some heads up. When my granddaughter doesn't feel good, she used to ring a bell, and I'd be working in the basement. She'd be in the bedroom on the second floor, and I'd go running up, and I'd go, "What?" She goes, "I just want to make sure you hear me." Now
oh
that she's
gosh.
29, she texts me alarm clocks.
That's great, Sandy. So, Sandy, in your opinion, I mean, and the folks you know that have grandkids, is this a common thing you're seeing where they're kind of not like helping out as much, and they have their own interests? And
yeah, a lot of my friends do, and they go, "Well, why are you still doing it?" I said, "Because I want to."
But did your grandparents do that for you?
My grandmother kind of did. My grandmother was somewhat perverted, and she used to tell me weird stories about prostitutes.
Oh, nice. That's entertaining. I mean, that's a different era, though, I'm sure.
But, yeah, my mother would, sympathize with my daughter and go, "Oh, don't you feel good? What do you need? I'll get it." And, you know, now, even at my granddaughter, she doesn't live with us, but she's not feeling good. I want to take her soup or something to her apartment, and her friends have adopted me.
That's awesome. And I would adopt you, too, if you lived around me. Yeah,
good.
That's a great thing.
Good.
You know, I feel like, you know, for the most part, a lot of people I hear in my generation of parenting, they're, I don't know if it's just because it's a different era or social media has played into it. Like, my mom's on Facebook all the time.
Right.
Even when she visits, she's still on Facebook doing her thing. And my mom's pretty active. She sings and she does her thing. And she's kind of busy. And it's like, oh, well, but my grandmother was around all the time. And she would come, at our beck and call. And not that that was the best way or the right way, but it was certainly the only way I knew and grew up with. So I had a certain set of expectations. And when, you know, our grandparents aren't around when we think they should be around, it's kind of hurtful. And
it's kind of comforting to know. We have neighbors that moved in and they have three little boys. And I go, oh, it's music when they're out there laughing and having a good time. Yeah. And I'm like, why aren't grandparents more involved?
I don't know. It's a good question, Sandy. And I posed it at the beginning of the show and the phone lines lit up. The text lines lit up. So I imagine I'm not the only one out there. And this is a booming trend for the older generation who maybe are just had enough. Maybe said, you know what? I've raised my kids. They're old enough. They have kids. Now you deal with it.
I don't know. I think that's kind of selfish. I do water aerobics 3 days a week. I'm very active. My husband and I go out. I knit. I sew. I do community stuff. I mean, you have time for your grandkids.
Yeah. I get it. You got to make time for the grandkids. I mean, they're going to remember grandma or maybe not remember grandma and grandpa if you're not around. That's all I can say is
they're going to be lonely.
Yeah. Sandy, thank you so much for the call.
You
we appreciate
a fun day.
It. You too.
Bye.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. Hey, quick shout out to my nephew, Frankie New York, who's listening all the way in New York via WGNradio.com/listen or watch. You could listen to the show across the nation or the world for that matter. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. We're live and have a studio full of brilliant artists, and it's all because of ComEd, because they power lives of not just everybody, but disabled artists as well. We're joined by Senior Vice President of Governmental and External Affairs, Fidel Marquez. Fidel, how are you?
Good morning. I am well. How are you? Actually, afternoon, isn't it?
It is kind of afternoon, but I started in the morning, so it's all relative. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate
this.
My pleasure. Tell us about this program.
Well, we have a we built a brand new training center out in Bridgeport, and we looked to see how we can have a greater impact with our neighbors and with the community. And just down the street is the Bridgeport Arts Center. And there they have Project Onward. And Project Onward is a program that focuses on talented artists like Louie and Jimmy here today, that focuses their art. They're very talented. They have challenges and actually use that art to even surpass those challenges. So we partnered with Project Onward. We commissioned art for a use in our new training center, getting them projects to work with us. They had a theme of Bridgeport, since Bridgeport is where we're located here with our training center.
So ComEd's training center is located there?
That's right. Awesome. Brand new training center. We just opened it up about a year ago, in fact.
And the art is kind of adorning the walls now? Is that
it
what's
is.
Happening?
Actually, the art that was there now, we recently had an auction. We had an event back at the Bridgeport Art Center where we auctioned the original art that was commissioned. The proceeds from that auction went back to Project Onward, and we commissioned new art for the training center.
It's so great to have such a big company like ComEd get involved in the community and help artists. I mean, to me, it's a dying segment of the contribution in corporate America to, you know, to support artists, especially in a program like this.
It's hugely important. We're part of the community. You mentioned Powering Lives, what we do. But it's more than just electrical energy. It's in every facet of that.
Yeah.
So we really believe that. Our employees last year, for example, volunteered over 22,000 hours in different organizations. We're part of that fabric that is the community.
And for ComEd, and maybe this gets deep here, but when we talk about energy, the idea of what you just hit on is communication, human communication is all about exchange of energy.
It is.
You know, and it really is, I'm a true believer in it on a quantum level, you know, that we all come together as a community and exchange energy, and part of that communication is art as well. You know, and I'd love to hear from, you know, our program director here, Mark Jackson, about that idea.
Actually, he's a studio director.
Studio director, yes. Thanks for correcting me. I appreciate that. So tell me about it.
Yes. Well, first I want to thank you for hosting us.
Oh, my pleasure.
On your program.
Thank you.
The type of energy that goes on in the studio is very creative, and there's you know, constant activity going on and new ideas. And it's something that that we were very grateful to ComEd for coming to us and giving us.
How did they find you?
Well,
or did you find them?
Well, we are neighbors, and we'd watched the facility being built from ground up, and that was exciting, you know, to see. And I'm not sure who made the first contact, you know, with Project Onward. I believe that you guys did.
Yeah, we did. We were reaching out. How can we, other than the training center, how else can we be part of the community? And with Bridgeport Art Center just down the street, we reached out, and we actually found what we thought was a perfect partnership with Project Onward. The energy from the art that is created there is perfect with the theme that we have in our community with Powering Lives.
Yeah. So tell us about the art that is created there and some of the artists you brought with you.
Sure. Project Onward has about 50 artists that we work with, and the way they get into the program is with their portfolios. They need to have originality, sometimes technical ability, but a strong desire, you know, to be creative and to, you know, empower themselves through their art making. And James and Louie have both been with us since close to our beginnings, back to 2004.
We have Louie DeMarco is joining us in studio, as well as James Allen. Artist, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
James is, I like James. Maybe you want to co-host with me, maybe? Stick around for the rest of the show. Show me some of your art.
Oh, this piece I did is Lumaman, Barrierized Action Hero. action hero. Luma Man is my superhero ego.
I love that.
There's the shades that I'm wearing. That's U2's Bono's shades. He's one of my singing heroes.
Yeah. And folks, you can see what we're talking about if you go to WGNradio.com/watch right now. You can see some of this beautiful artist work. Can you hold it up so that our cameras can see that?
Okay.
Luma Man, I love that. And I like how you have the kind of the energy auras going on around it. It's kind of projecting out from the center. Yeah. Tell me about that.
The barriers, the clear quartz is means energy, and fire agate means power. Labradorite is intuition. Carnelian is self-esteem, and last but not least, Tiger's Eye is focus. And you can see the flash of light flowing from my badge. It melts away the Icy Beast, which is the villain, Southpaw Man.
I love it. That the story is fantastic. It's beautiful colors.
Oh, and the jacket and the pants. The jacket and the pants look like John McClane's outfit from Die Hard with a Vengeance.
It kind of does. It kind of does. I love how you kind of morphed all these heroes into one.
Yeah, and Bruce Willis is another one of my idols too.
That's great. Good. I love that you have a platform, James, to actually express this and talk about the art in a way for millions of people listening to hear. And pieces like this are going to be hanging now.
Yes, right. In our facility in Bridgeport at the Chicago Training Center.
Amazing. All right, let's shift over to Lewis. Thanks for joining us on the show.
James.
Oh, all right.
I'm sorry, Mike. What?
No. Jimmy Allen.
Jimmy Allen. I'm sorry. I got my notes mixed up over here.
Yeah, it's okay.
Allen and Lewis. Okay. Talk to me, man. All right. How long you been doing art?
No problem. Oh man. Well, thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah.
I've been doing art since 5 years old. So I'm 33 now. I'm 34.
What medium did you start? You start sketching, and
she started sketching. Yeah. Thanks to my cousin and my older brother, who both are excellent self-taught artists as well. So I was just very inquisitive. You know, as all children are very inquisitive, and you just want to, you know, learn things and new things, something that's fascinating, such as, you know, doing art. And I asked, and I received. And that's I ran awesome. With it.
So what's your specialty? What would you say is your specialty in a form of art?
Oh, so I learned by eye.
Do you like painting, drawing,
I like
photography?
Painting. Also, I'll dabble in photography as well.
What's your inspiration? What what drives you?
What drives
as an artist?
Oh my God, ingenuity of humanity. I mean, that's why most of my subject matter is like technical things such as trains, science fiction, aerospace, stuff like that. It's amazing.
Do you have an image or one of your artworks?
Absolutely.
You can see?
Yeah.
That is a painting?
Yes, a drawing.
Wow. That is amazing.
Thank you.
It's a picture, folks. If you're logging on to WGNradio.com/watch, you could see this amazing image of a train coming through with the city backdrop, perfectly, you know, lit sunset. Well done, man. That's awesome stuff.
Thank you.
And, you know, people are chiming in here, guys. Your art is being seen right now across the nation via our website, WGNradio.com/watch. You can also listen at the same. And we have a texter from the 630 says, is the art for sale? Are you guys selling the art at the center?
Yes. That's how we exist, is through sales and donations to our program. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, and artists receive 50% of the proceeds from the sales. The other 50% goes back into the budget for Project Onward, and we wouldn't exist, you know, without that. Our studio is open to the public.
Where is the location, the physical location?
We're 35th and Racine in Bridgeport. Just a block away from the ComEd facility.
It used to be at the Cultural Center, but now it's at Bridgeport.
Probably the best time to come visit us is on Third Friday when we have an open house. We're open until usually 10 in the evenings. Openings start about 6. And we have refreshments, you know, for the public. And we have a new exhibition that we usually unveil on third Fridays. And they're very popular, you know, with the public. And we make many sales on those days.
Awesome. So people can walk off the street and literally purchase the art off the walls.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I miss being at the Cultural Center so much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah, because, well, because of the... Well, especially because of, Well, for one, the Pedway, I miss Starbucks. And,
Which every artist, I mean, misses a Starbucks. I mean, it happens. I mean, yeah. I consider myself an artist, and I miss a Starbucks. You know?
And I miss being at Subway.
Yeah.
We spent about 10 years at the Chicago Cultural Center. They were great years, but we love Bridgeport. And
Bridgeport's a great community. My wife's from that neighborhood, and, you know, we love, you know, supporting everything in that neighborhood. And guys, just to answer our texters' questions, if they're looking at this art right now, why don't you hold up your art again, James? And then, what are the prices for these? I mean, if we want to, let's have an auction going. Right, we'll do a live auction on the show right now.
All
right. Yeah. So let's start with James. What does that that portrait go for?
That's, okay. Well, this actually is priced at $750. Flat right now, so I get 50% of that, and the other proceeds, the other 50 goes back to Project Onward.
And now, is the artwork also listed on the website as well? Like, can they see an image of the artwork for sale on the website?
They will be able to see images, examples, you know, of the artist work on the website. This particular piece is very recent, and I don't think it's gone up yet, but we do change the artwork.
Very cool. And Lewis, tell me about the price on this. What are you selling it for?
I don't know.
Well,
open for discussion.
Yeah.
Open for discussion. Let's negotiate.
Yeah, open for discussion. Let's start negotiating right now.
The phone lines are open. Let's put in the bids.
Yeah.
Let's do a live auction.
All right.
Louis does a variety of work. This piece we'd sell at about $400.
400? Yes. It's going to be on 400 pucks?
Yes.
Going once?
I think Lewis wants more for it. I can see it right now.
It's negotiable.
How about 500?
500. I say 550.
600.
650.
700.
Sold to Lewis. You own this awesome piece of artwork.
All right. Thanks.
But listen, folks, joking aside, if you want to find out more about the artwork featured, you can call the studio. Mark Jackson is the studio director. The number is 773, correct? 466-6885.
That is correct.
And check out our website at www.projectonward.org.
I love it. Lewis, you got to come back and co-host with me, man.
Yeah. Thanks.
For a sidekick.
Yeah, I love to do that. I could hopefully do that sometime.
Mark's got a different phone number as well. What's the phone number you can give out?
773-940-2992.
And the website again is projectonward.org.
That's correct.
Now, you guys individually as artists have websites. You have a website as well?
It's under construction.
Under construction, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very important these days. See, artists are typically not good business people. I've noticed. I've known millions of artists. I'm an artist myself. And I'm sure as part of the program, you kind of corralling these guys to, you know, represent your artwork, get a website out there. Because, I mean, your stuff is amazing. Yeah. I think you can bring this on a national platform. And I love the idea.
Absolutely. And I was... I've been creating my website on some computers. I was doing it on my laptop, but I never seem to put it on the public.
It's a process, you know. I mean, it's like a piece of artwork. You kind of got to chip at it, and then finally you reveal it to the public.
Yeah, you know, maybe I don't know if I could make my own public website.
Why not?
Hmm.
You make art that goes public, right?
Yes, but I'm not sure how to make a public website.
Well, maybe Mark can help you with that, right?
Well, and just on the side, Louis has a piece up now. It's a mural on North Damon, 1825 North Damon, beside the Churchill Dog Park, and
it's a cloud chart.
Interesting. And where is that location again?
1825 North Damon. It's a Chicago Public Park next to the Churchill Dog Park.
Churchill
and it's
Dog Park.
A huge mural that expresses
The bad states in each color cloud. A red cloud is distraction, peers above me if I get distracted. Blue cloud is obsession, when I get obsessed. Purple for mumbles, aqua for holdbacks, gold for neuroses, you name it.
How do you, Lewis, I'm just curious, the research that goes into your projects, I mean, are you coming from the heart with all this? Or are you researching the colors? I mean, tell me about it.
Well, it's a little bit of a mystery, but...
like most artists, it just comes from nowhere, right? It's just poof.
Yeah.
And you're channeling something, right?
Yeah. And sometimes I feel that my thoughts are getting out of place, you know, so...
Does art help you channel that?
Yes, I guess. Well,
it certainly looks like it. You're creating looks fascinating. Yeah.
And there's also a halo chart, which is, the halo is good things. Like red, each colored halo, like red halo is white noise, peers above me if there's white noise. Blue halo is for energy. Mm. Green halo is focus. Purple halo is flow.
Is this chart based on something you created?
Chart based on something I created? Like the good things? Well, my mom told me to put the bad states aside and start making good states. So I was going to plan on doing halos.
So you associated those forms with color, which is a brilliant interpretation of it. Mm-hmm. And great stuff. And folks, you could support Project Onward right now, as a matter of fact. They are a nonprofit. They're always looking for donations. Again, the website is projectonward.org.
That's right.
And the mission itself, tell us about exactly the mission statement of Project Onward.
Sure. Project Onward... mission is to support artists with developmental disabilities or mental health issues, and we promote we give them the materials and the space and the encouragement to make their work. And
do they need to be at a special level of experience when it comes to the art, or can it be for anybody who just wants to get involved in art?
It can be for anybody. I mean, our primary criteria is originality. Mm. And a desire to make work. Mm. And so we have artists on all different levels. Most everybody is self-taught. Many artists have had a good high school experience. We recruited through the Gallery 37 program initially. We get all different levels of talent. I mean, with experience or without experience, but...
So, folks, if you're listening, you're hearing Mark Jackson right now. He's the studio director over at Project Onward. And if you know a loved one who has learning disabilities and loves art, this sounds like a phenomenal opportunity to get them engaged. As you can hear, Lewis, it's an outlet. It's a great way to express themselves, maybe ways they can't before. Yes. I want to thank you guys all for coming on the show. This has really been fantastic. You're all very talented. It's a great, great project.
And, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. And tell us, ComEd, you guys get involved in the Polar Plunge, correct?
Yes, right. A week from today, in fact, we'll be going into Lake Michigan. This will be our 6th year.
Yourself jump in?
Absolutely.
Come on.
And actually, this year will be kind of easy. It's supposed to be 57 next Sunday.
That's not so bad.
No. Yeah. I've done it at 9 degrees. We actually had to have a bulldozer break up the ice on the lake for us to jump in. We've had that a couple of years.
Crazy. But for a good cause. Right?
All for good cause. We're raising money for Special Olympics next Sunday. Over 500 ComEd employees and family members. Last year, we raised $175,000. You know, Frank, you should come and join the ComEd team.
Put me on the spot, Fidel. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Man,
you should.
To. Yeah, if it's 50-something/80, I'm in. You know, if it's an 80-degree, I'm in. You know what? I'll do it this year. I'll do it for you.
All right.
What do I got to wear? Like a little bikini?
You know what? We
or?
Are having a costume contest.
Yeah.
So
can I wear a wetsuit?
Use your whatever you like. Use all your right. imagination.
I'll be a surfer.
Let's keep it
How
decent.
About that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you, guys.
Maybe I'll wear 80s hair.
There you go.
I'll probably wear an 80s hair. Is
That's
that okay?
Great. Yeah, he's rocket, man. From art to ice cream. You got to love this show, Dave. We are all over the world.
How we suffer, you know?
We suffer.
It's a hard job, but somebody has to do it.
Joining us from Grater's Ice Cream since 1870, Grater's.com, is Nathan. And he just handed me this mystery cup of ice cream. And he asked me, welcome to the show, Nathan. I can't tell you what's in it yet. While you tell us about Grater's, I'm going to keep tasting this.
Yeah, so we are a family-owned company. We've been around since 1870 making ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago, we started expanding outside of the Ohio area. We opened a store in Northbrook. And then in 2 weeks, we are getting ready to open a store in Winnetka.
I love Winnetka, by the way.
It is a very...
great little downtown.
Yeah.
Are you opening in the downtown area?
We are right downtown.
There's a friend of mine who owns Avali Greek restaurant down there. Great food. Yeah. Go check it out. How close to, like, what block are you going to be on?
We are at 940 Green Bay. So we are almost at Green Bay and Tower.
Okay. So what's up with this mystery flavor? Because I'm getting all sorts of notes here.
Yeah.
And I still have the crew here from my earlier guest, ComEd. Are you guys going to take a stab at this? What flavors are you tasting on this? Because I'm getting a little... James knows. James, strawberry cheesecake? I don't know. Because Nathan's not budging. Are you supposed to be cold stone face on this?
I can't tell you.
Hmm. I think it's a butterscotch cheesecake, strawberry cheesecake. That's what I'm guessing. It can't be just a straight up, you know, like easy guess, right? Now he's laughing. He's laughing. So maybe
I'm
getting closer.
I can't tell you. On March 1st, we officially released what the actual flavor is. And it'll be available in scoop shops to taste. You could buy it at your local grocery store.
Are you doing this like across Chicagoland area?
This is a Grater's thing.
Grater's thing.
The mystery flavor we do every year.
Is it yet to be named? Do you have an official name for it?
We do have an official name for it.
What is it?
I can't tell you.
Oh.
Nice try.
I'm trying. Nathan's got poker face, man.
It does have cookies, right?
Mm. For the fans of Grater's out there, the ice cream is fantastic. I got to tell you, the quality of the ice cream. There's these, if you like strawberries, you're going to love this flavor because there's little hints of strawberry. And then there's this nugget of crusty goodness. And James, you're thinking this is some kind of like graham cracker crust?
Yeah, I like that.
Like graham crackers. That's what I think too. Dave, what's your opinion on this? Because this is...
Yes, I thought it was like the updated version of cookies and cream with...
brown sugar?
Yeah,
brown sugar. Mm-hmm. I think it's a butterscotch cookie infused into a strawberry vanilla. I don't know. She's giving it away over here. She just shook her head. I'm wrong. I see this. Interesting. Why the mystery flavor? I mean, it's a good marketing ploy. I think it's great.
So it's a fun way to interact with our guests. We build this flavor up for, you know, the whole beginning of the year.
Who does this, like, I'm going to decide to do this flavor? Like, I like to be in that lab.
So the way the mystery flavors work is every summer we do a set of bonus flavors. So they're like test flavors. We get a limited batch. We do it for about a week. For a few months over the summer, we have a new one every other week. And then people vote on them. We do it on Facebook. We do it, all the staff takes.
Does it come from input from, you know, like customers? Yep. Like, hey, we'd love to see this flavor. We'd love to see that flavor.
Yeah, so it comes from input from customers, different ideas, just trying out things that may never work.
And where does it start? You're not revealing the secret. Is it in a kitchen somewhere, in like a home? Is it in a lab? Is it in a
factory?
In a factory. Yep. And who's involved in that decision-making process?
So Bob Grater. One of the family, he is the one that makes all of the ice cream flavors. So
what a fun job.
Yeah. He tests out all the flavors, and makes one batch at a time. People at the factory taste it, decide if it's, you know, up to our standards, up to our quality. And then we take it from there.
What's the wackiest flavor you guys ever came out with? Like,
I thought it was wacky when we came out with cotton candy. It was a pretty...
Did it stick?
It did. It's permanent flavor on the menu now. Kids love it. But back when it came out, like 6 or 8 years ago, it was way off from all of our other ice cream flavors.
Do you guys do any like savory or spicy ice creams?
We have not yet, but hopefully
that's a trend right now.
Yeah.
Like you get a little hint of jalapeno, you get a little bite on your ice cream.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. A little chili in there.
Yeah.
What about decadence? Like what's the most decadent flavor Grater's, in your opinion? And I'm thinking, like, for me, when I say decadent, I'm thinking, like, cookie dough and cake batter and, like, chocolate, vanilla, caramel, like, just slathered together and just smear it all over my body. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me get back to focusing here.
You're doing a radio show, Frank.
Sorry.
Is our Buckeye chocolate chip. It's a chocolate peanut butter based ice cream. It's got peanut butter cookie dough and dark chocolate chips.
Oh, see, that's my kind of flavor right there. See, this is good. This is like light and, you know, tastes good.
Yeah, good springtime flavor.
I like just layers of gook.
Yeah.
You know, like peanut butter and chocolate. It's good stuff. Now, do you guys, and I personally have not been integrators, is it kind of like the self-serve model where you put in your own toppings, or is it old school ice cream shop?
It's an old school ice cream shop. So we do sundaes, milkshakes, double dip sodas. Basically, you can create your own thing using what we have.
So do you do root beer floats?
We do.
Did you hear that, Lewis? Grater does root beer floats. Lewis denied our ice cream. He said he only does root beer floats.
I mean, there's people that only do root beer floats, and we make pretty good ones.
I never quite got that whole trend. I know it was big in like the 50s and 60s, but what? Why? It's soda on ice cream.
Yeah.
It's two bad things together. They make a good thing.
It makes the best thing.
It makes the best things. You know, I like the idea of Grater's being that old school, you know, shop, because it kind of back to Main Street feeling. Yes. And Winnetka is a perfect downtown to do that. You know, I feel like that's a really Main Street-y kind of town.
It is.
So I think you guys are doing real well. When is the grand opening?
Grand opening is March 10th.
And you guys will reveal this flavor then?
We will reveal the flavor on March 1st. It'll be available at any Grater's store.
So should I give my official flavor guess?
Sure.
All right, this is my official flavor guess. I believe it's a strawberry cheesecake with a butterscotch cookie. I don't know.
It's a good guess.
Guys, does that sound remotely close? Yeah? You agree? My panel of experts agree here. They're all giving me a thumbs up. So what do I win if I'm right? A lifetime of free ice cream?
Sure.
All right, you heard it here. Stop
on into Winnetka.
That's a tell right there. Nathan just told me I lost because he told me, sure, come in. Anything you want. We'll give you a store. How about that? If you win. Anyway, good stuff. Nathan, thank you so much. Grater's Ice Cream. Do you guys have a website?
We do, graters.com.
And I like it. I was on there earlier today, and I saw like the old school logo, and you guys have a Master Paddlers.
Yes,
right?
We do.
What does it take to be a Master Paddler?
It takes a lot of stamina.
Is there literally old school mixing like that?
It's mixed with electricity, but then they scoop it out with a paddle into buckets, and then they hand pack everything. So they hand pack pints, they hand pack the buckets that we scoop out of.
And I know this is like the ice cream shop's worst question. Do you do a dairy-free version?
We do have sorbet options, which are dairy-free.
No Froyo or...
No yogurt, all ice cream.
Gluten-free.
Most of our flavors are gluten-free, except for things that contain, like cookies.
Good stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Graters, go check them out. They'll be opening in Winnetka real soon.